This is All Things Vocal Radio Show. I'm your host, Judy Rodman. You'll be hearing interviews and music from new recording artists. And you get some vocal training tips for your own voice. Every episode, I'm going to give you a free vocal lesson. That's right, a professional tip you can go on to use for your next recording or live performance. If your voice matters, hey, I can fix ya. Okay, it's time for your vocal lesson. This episode's lesson is going to answer the question, what exactly is Power Path and Performance Vocal Training? Simply put, Power Path and Performance is a three-pronged vocal training method I developed from decades of professional experience to give the singing and speaking voice maximum impact without vocal strain. This method has been proven on stage and in studio to ramp up vocal ability quickly, eliminate voice-stealing tension, and capture the listener's attention and heart. It uses a unique approach, weaving together three threads of breath, throat, and communication techniques to give you the healthy, powerful, and controlled voice you need if you want your voice to matter. So, how did Power Path and Performance Vocal Training come to be? Well, when I began to teach voice a few years ago, my central concern was that whatever I taught had to work in practical settings, small, large, indoor, outdoor performance stages, and all kinds of recording studios, for every genre of contemporary singing as well as speaking. So, I started carefully paying attention to what worked to help my vocal students and production clients progress the best and the quickest. I drew from my own extensive professional vocal experience and from sources like doctors, chiropractors, alternative health practitioners, as well as other vocal training methods. Gradually, I wove all that I knew about the voice into the power and control of breath, the voice path that will maintain openness in the throat no matter what you're singing, and the physical and psychological aspects of effective communication. I eventually condensed this into the three-word trademark, power, path, and performance. I noticed that not only was this system a logical sorting of information, but there was an exciting synergy involved between the three core areas of technique. What that means is that if you get something right or wrong in one of the areas, it will affect the other two. So, if your breath support or control is off, you will not be able to keep your throat open. And this creates a subtle block to being able to connect with your audience without being distracted by the way your throat feels. Tight throats cause tight breaths with compromised performance. Breath issues create tight throats and hinder communication. It's all connected. But the good news was that when I help a student improve their weakest cornerstone, the other two areas benefit. When I teach a vocalist to integrate all three with Power Path and Performance Method, the whole voice is available without strain to powerfully move an audience. With Power Path and Performance, I gained and taught not only the ability to have a better singing voice, but to talk all day without vocal fatigue. This helps artists that need to do interviews before concerts and have to speak in noisy, crowded rooms and all this kind of thing, and definitely public speakers. I was able also to cure my own vocal break, which was a significant break, and those of my students. When you work out your vocal break and cure it, this helps develop the mixed or middle. This helps develop the mixed or middle voice, which safely increases vocal range and control and gives the rich, resonant vocal sound that communicates so well and is easy to record. I'm on a continual learning curve. I think all good teachers should be. I love to network with other voice teachers and scientists, and I find new ways of helping my students with everyone I teach. They are all so unique. but I have never found anything that didn't fit within the three-stranded cord approach of power, path, and performance. One thing I'm absolutely sure of, it's not enough to get one area of vocal technique right. You have to have all three working optimally, your breath, your throat, and your communication skills. Power Path and Performance training is available in personal and phone lessons with me and in vocal training products. If your voice matters, or you want it to, log on now to www.judyrodman.com. Now, on to some music. Check out Love's Tragedy with Blindsided. Love's Tragedy. I recently had their lead singer, Colleen Alana, in my office for a vocal lesson, and I got to talk to her about her crazy life as a rock star. Sometimes glamorous, sometimes not. Let's see what she had to say. Colleen Alana from Love's Tragedy. Welcome to All Things Vocal.
Thanks, Judy. It's great to be here.
You are a multi-talented creator, a rock artist, a photographer, a whole lot more things that I don't even know about. Where in the world do you get your creative genes? From your mama, your papa, or some ancient grandfather?
It's probably the ancient grandfather, to be honest. I don't know. It just started as I was a kid, and I think my mom has some creative juices in her. My dad did, but they were more of a visually artistic type, and I turned to music for some reason and writing. So, yeah, I guess I think everybody has a creative side to them. It's just whether they tap into it or not. You know?
And how sometimes as we go through life, it kind of manifests itself in different areas, doesn't it?
Definitely. It's manifested itself in many ways with me. You know, I like all kinds of self-expression creatively. I mean, through art, through, you know, music, writing, photography, you name it. I mean, it's all there, and I just like tapping into each one because each one can bring you a different sense of peace and you know, expressing yourself. So,
why do you find your expression in rock? When did that start?
Well, I've always loved rock. I grew up listening to the classic rock, you know, Pat Benatar, Heart, Van Halen. I mean, I've liked all kinds of genres. I'm not a snob. You know, I like jazz. But rock, just because I tend to be a dark and moody writer, it tends to translate a little better into the rock genre. And that way I can really put it out there too vocally, because I like to be real powerful vocally, because that's part of the self-expression, is being able to get it all out, you know, as loud as you possibly can, you know.
What about the name of your rock band, Love's Tragedy? Where'd that come from? Very cool and ironic.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny. We were struggling to find a name for a really long time. I mean, for months we debated on what we should call it. And then my guitarist comes in one day, and he said, I heard this really cool phrase from this guy, and he said, love is a tragedy. And I was like, well, I like that. And I said, so I sat there and I thought about it for a little bit, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper real big, and I put Love's Tragedy with an apostrophe on it. And I said, what about Love's Tragedy? And that way it's got kind of more than one meaning to it. It's like love is a tragedy, somebody loves tragedy, so it's kind of a, you know, many meanings.
How do you go about your songwriting? Are you a mostly lyric writer or a music writer? Which comes first and all that stuff?
Well, seeing that I don't play much, you know, the music comes first, and the most important is the guitarist, obviously, because he's the one who writes. And he has to be a riff writer too. He can't just be somebody who knows how to play certain parts. He's got to be able to come up with these song ideas so that I can start moving with the song itself. So I'm kind of a part of the creation of the song, and then as they kind of write it, and we kind of all sit together and get the roadmap to the whole song, you know, and then I'll sit down, and I'll already have some melody ideas in my head from hearing it so many times, and then I'll just start the lyric writing and see how it feels, and you know, is this a sad song? Is this a mad song? Is this a fun song? You know, how am I going to interpret this vocally? You know, try to find catch or a hook.
Yeah, and you said something very interesting. What a lot of songwriters that are not really singers don't understand is that the song needs to feel good in your mouth.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
And the syllables and the choice of words. And if it doesn't, I mean, you know, with vocal training, you can learn to do something, but why have to do it? You know, pick another word.
Right,
you
know? right. There are some words that are very hard to sing. I mean, and
there are options.
And there are different options. You know, you never really realize how difficult a word can be until you go to record it, and then you hear it back, and you're like, wow, that doesn't sound good. Maybe I should choose a different
maybe
word.
Maybe that E on top should be
like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't spread the vowel so wide right there. Or, you know, I mean, it's just...
Well, I know you as my vocal student and as my photographer, and thank you very much. My guys and girls, my headshot is done by a rock artist, so I feel quite trendy.
There you go. You're cool now, Judy.
Yeah,
I'm
super cool now. But no, thank you. It's really, really artfully done and well done. And there's something that that you know and I know because of the kindness that you showed me in the editing of my photograph.
Right.
That people also need to be careful, especially young girls, looking at the pictures in the magazines of those perfect women and girls with the tiny, tiny waists and it's not real.
All the right proportions.
Yeah.
No, it's not real. Now, there are some women who are blessed to have, you know, the perfect
the hourglass figure,
right? And then to have the beautiful skin that never wrinkles, never mars, never gets a pimple. But the rest of the world, you know, we are normal and we're human and we get all those things.
And we're really in the majority.
We are really in the majority. And a lot of, and everything you see on the internet, everything, it doesn't matter anymore because everything's digital. So it's so easy to fix things and make things look better and make things look perfect. Mm-hmm. And so now our image in society is that all these people who are famous and are perfect. They don't have any flaws at all.
Right.
And that's just not a fair assessment. It's not. And it's not fair to the kids.
And if you try to look like that, you're liable to run into trouble. Well, and it's okay to look, you know, to want photos retouched, but you just got to know when you're looking at all those photos that they are retouched and they're not real. And you can enjoy the art, but that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. It is art. It's definitely art.
But, you know, art, that's what art is. I mean, even in our recordings, we have a little reverb and we have little pitch fixing now here and there and all that. But the thing is to create a moment that will deliver some kind of message in whatever genre of creativity you're working in, that you're dabbling in.
Definitely. This one is called Never Enough. It's one of our newer songs we just finished recording, coming up on the new EP. The lyrics are pretty straightforward. Hope you enjoy it.
Incredible energy. Okay, let's talk about the biz.
I've been, you know, singing for a long, long time, since I was young, but I've never pursued a music career with a band, you know, until I moved to Nashville. The bug started when I was 7-8 years ago. I moved to Italy, and I lived there for 3 years, and I was fortunate enough to get involved in a cover band, and they were all Italian men. They're great musicians,
wow.
And they knew and loved American classic music, classic rock, even disco, and they got a demo tape of mine, which was quite odd. I was like, I got this random phone call. I hear you're a singer. Yeah? Would you be interested in auditioning for a band? And I was like, really? Okay. But I got fortunate enough to get this call and became the lead singer for the cover band called Flashback. And we toured around Naples and the island of Capri. It was just an amazing experience.
Wow.
When I came to Nashville, I realized I wanted to take my two loves of music and singing and writing poetry, and I wanted to put them together and create my own music, because it's fun and great to sing other people's songs, but when you have that creativity pent up inside of you and you want to let it out, the best way to do it is to write your own music. You know, the rest is history. Mm-hmm. That's just what I've been doing. And learning the business has been difficult and fun and very time-consuming.
Yeah, time-consuming to say the least. But are you finding that at least it's possible where before there would be the bottlenecks of having to be on a major label, or there was no way to reach your audience?
Right. Oh, yeah. With the internet, it definitely makes it a lot easier to reach a bigger and broader audience.
Stations like New Artist Radio.
Right. Like exactly like New Artist Radio. Thank you.
Thank
Plug
you.
For me.
TMC. Yeah, she's the founder of it. I just love
That's
her.
Great.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very difficult and time consuming. And I mean, with all the promotion and the gigging and the booking and recording and mastering and artwork and graphics and networking and going to shows. I mean, it just becomes this never ending, and it's not even a cycle because it just keeps going. It just never ends. And it the day is never over, and you've never completed anything. I mean, it's just the way it is. But I can tell you that before I started doing this, where I thought that making it in the music industry, at least being successful enough to put food on my table or whatever, to live comfortably, mm-hmm. I can see that as a reality now, mm-hmm. as where before I was like, there's no way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, absolutely no way I would ever have the opportunity to do that. So, yeah, it feels a lot more reachable. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people who want that success, mm-hmm. they don't realize the work that it takes to get there,
right.
And they become stalemated. They stand there waiting for something to happen to them, mm-hmm. and they don't realize that it's not going to happen unless you make it happen. You
right.
have to go out there and do all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You can't expect people to do
and
them
learn.
For you.
Learn what
right.
to do.
Yeah, you have right. to keep your eyes and ears open at all times.
Right, right.
You know.
Yeah, and I like the fact that there are, you know, a lot of places you can learn on the internet. There are podcasts like one, and there are materials and there are
blogs like yours,
blogs like mine, and organizations like this. I like Indie Connect is
yes.
a particular organization mm-hmm. that I'm really liking that shares a lot of music
how
business information. That is how we met, wasn't it?
I saw your ad on Indie Connect for a vocal coach, and that's why I.
For those of you who don't know what Indie Connect is, it's an independent music organization where you network and you learn about the business of music. You can look for Indie Connect at indieconnect.net.
And you can friend me, too.
Yeah, and me. That's right. You'll have two friends just instantly.
Right?
Okay, with all this stuff that you have to do, Colleen, how do you wind down?
Winding down. I don't know if that's something I know very well. I find that the times where I'm most at ease is when I'm driving. Those drives are my wind down moments. Those are the times where I get to spend time with myself, because
right.
at home I have the family, and then I have work, and then I have the band, and it's a constant demand on your attention. And so the only time I have, sad to say, is driving in my car.
That's great. Okay, well, where can people find your 5-song album entitled, what is it, Divide and Conquer?
Divide and Conquer. It's the name of one of our songs off mm-hmm. the EP itself. It was one of the first songs we ever wrote together as a band. We love it. It's still a crowd favorite. And it was at a time in my life where I felt like I had people bringing me down, and I just needed to kind of stand up and say, no, you're not,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that was my anthem.
Where can they find it?
We're hoping to have it out by September. We're all over the net. You can find us.
Google Loves Tragedy. No, no apostrophe?
With an apostrophe.
With
actually,
an apostrophe.
Yeah. Yep.
L-O-V-E apostrophe S-T-R-A-G-E-D-Y. The cool thing is, folks, this is the first place that you'll be able to hear it.
That's right. That's right.
Judy All things
has
vocal.
The first copy, actually.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with me, taking time out of your very busy life to hang out with me at All Things Vocal. And Colleen, I wish you and Love's Tragedy the very rocket best.
Well, thank you very much, Judy. It was a pleasure to be here and talk with you and laugh with you. I hope to do it again sometime soon.
Let's do it. About my vocal training and production services, go to www.judyrodman.com. Thanks for listening.
Right.
And join me next week on the New Artist Radio for another round of All Things Vocal.